We're back.
Hi, I'm Gail.
I'm Daphne, and we're That's Disturbing.
Yes, we are. Here again.
Because we're disturbed.
We are.
I don't know why I feel the need to say that every time, just because I guess it is what it is, and it's meant to be that we're disturbed.
Right. Well, just in case anybody missed or didn't occur to them that we're disturbed.
Right. Okay, so we're going to be doing things in a different order than normal. So we're obviously introducing ourselves. Hello again. Then we're going to jump into disturbing fact from now on and then into the case. And then we'll take care of housekeeping. Well, we'll take care of housekeeping if we need to in the beginning as well. And then we'll take care of like Instagram, that kind of stuff at the end.
Yeah, we'll give you all the information, how to get in touch, how to follow, blah, 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 all that.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I actually do have a little bit of housekeeping, Mom.
Okay.
It was brought to my attention while we were editing and trying to find pictures of Winnie Ruth Judd, the last episode that I did.
Mm-hmm.
That she escaped 7 times, not 6. So my bad. I kept saying 6 times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Deadly Women, you steered me wrong.
Right.
Actually, I don't even know if they talked about it on Deadly Women. So I think they just talked about the case, not her escapes.
Well, that's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah,
even
it
6
is.
Times is pretty impressive and or creepy.
Yeah, no kidding.
And scary.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, there is
good
all
for
that.
Her.
Right.
I don't know if I should say that, but good for her.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you should say that.
I don't know if I should say
Winnie
that.
Bad Winnie Ruth Judd. Bad Winnie Ruth Judd.
Yeah, bad girl. Bad girl. Okay. Naughty girl.
Are you ready for my disturbing fact?
I am. Do tell.
Okay. So at any given time in the United States, there's an average of 2,000 serial killers.
I feel like that's way higher than the numbers I've heard before. That's fucked up.
It's
scary.
An average. Well, because I was reading another article and it said 25 to 50.
That's what I've heard, like the 30s, in
but
the 30
this
range.
This one is this guy, his last name is Hargrove, and he's a retired investigative journalist. And he arrived at the estimate of about 2,000 at-large serial killers by asking some contacts at the FBI to calculate how many unsolved murders are linked to at least one or another murder through DNA, the DNA database. Because to be a serial killer, you just have to kill 3 people or more.
Just 3 people. There's a minimum requirement.
Right.
And there's that's no it. Cap. There's no cap on it.
There's no cap.
There's a minimum if you want to, you know, represent yourself with what did I say in the one episode? Cereal.
Fruit Loops?
Yeah. I'm like, cereal. What is it?
What's nice.
Because in my brain, it's always going to Lucky Charms, actually. But
so the people that he interviewed, his sources at the FBI, said that there were about 1,400 murders. 2% of those in the database met that classification, where there's 2 or more murders related to the same DNA that they don't have a match for.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so that's crazy, right? And they also said that 2% is probably a low estimate and 2,000 is a ballpark figure, but
how scary.
It is scary. Very yeah. scary. So because on average, there are more than 220,000 unsolved murders since 1980. So in 43 years, 220,000 unsolved murders in the United States.
Jeez.
That's a lot. So and then in conjunction with that, what I was going to say, and then I just kept going on about that, is that the average person will walk past 36 murderers in their lifetime.
Okay, maybe that's what I've heard, is that that's how many people you walk or how many people like you will have interacted with or something who are serial killers or murderers or whatever.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I could totally see some kids I went to high school with being murderers. So it makes sense.
Nice.
I might have already all met them. I might have already met them all.
You might have already got your 36.
Got my 36 fix. Right. No, I feel like, okay, here's the thing for me, is that I feel like, I'm trying to figure out how to, like, properly phrase this.
I can tell by the look
on
your face.
Today's episode is a ghosty episode, and, like, I feel that the layers that ghosts live in, whatever dimension they live in, is different than, like, demonic layers. So I would say that people definitely scare me more than, like, the ghost layer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily about, like, the heaven and hell layers. But
or like poltergeist because they're super strong.
Yeah.
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 So just regular, your regular average run of the mill spirit isn't really.
Yeah. Like the Stanley Hotel kind of spirits.
Right.
Or what we're going to jump into today is not as scary as the thought of people.
Of your 36 murderers that you walk past in your lifetime.
Yeah. In high school, namely.
And hopefully you just keep on walking.
Yeah. No fucking kidding. No kidding.
All right. Well, shall we just jump into today's case, Daph?
Yeah, we shall.
Shall we?
We shall. I'm feeling all formal.
Okay, I guess.
So what we're going to be talking about is something that's very near and dear to my heart. Key West.
Ooh, I love the Keys.
I do too. I was raised going there. So actually, per one of the stories that we have today, I will be posting a picture of myself as a young kid in front of a tombstone.
Yeah.
With a ghost.
Great parents.
And my mom says, Daphne, there's a ghost behind you. And I'm looking back. And then there actually is an orb in the picture.
There is. And it was like a regular camera where we had to get. It was like one of those disposable cameras.
A film camera.
Like one of those disposable ones that you have to get developed. So it wasn't like I could instantly look at my digital camera or my cell phone and see it. Like it was one of those Kodak disposable things.
The orangey yellow colored ones. Mm-hmm. For all of our young viewers who shouldn't, or young listeners who shouldn't be listening right now, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Not like your Fuji films, your Polaroid cameras. No, nothing like that. You had to take it to a store and get it developed.
Yep. Well, you still can. There's still those things.
Yeah. I feel like they're not as common though.
Oh, no, not commonplace at all. Because you have your cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Anyway.
Okay. So this is going to be a multiple part series and I'm going to be covering all of it. So today's a little bit on the lighter side, but still spooky. I haven't jumped into the Robert the Dolls yet in this episode.
Okay.
But our first one is going to be the Porter Mansion. Have you heard of this one, Mom?
I don't think so.
I don't think I've heard of it either. Something about it sounded familiar to me when I was researching this. But I don't, maybe we walked past it in one of our walking tours we've done down there before.
Maybe.
But I don't think it's like on the Ghosts and Gravestones. Shout out, Ghosts and Gravestones. If you're ever in the Keys, take a tour with them. It's fun because we are the doomed.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So the address of the Porter Mansion is 429 Caroline Street. You know Caroline Street.
I do. I know 429 Caroline Street.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you actually?
Yeah, I know that area for sure.
Yeah, see? I'm like, but I don't remember the story. Anyway, okay. So this house, it was built by Judge James Webb in 1838. And Judge Webb, he was an influential man, and he was actually in the first federal judge of the Superior Court of Key West.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
There were like two people in it.
Right, basically. So he introduced legislation that regulated salvage in Florida, which helped legitimize wrecking as a career. And he also became the Secretary of State to the Republic of Florida. So you might ask yourself, what is wrecking? Because that's what I was asking.
No, I know what wrecking is, exactly what it is. But that's only from going to Key West. It's where, I'll let you. But no, I know what it is.
You can take it.
It's where you find a shipwreck and you recover the stuff. And whatever you recover then becomes yours.
Yeah, or you sell it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it becomes your property to do with as you choose.
Yeah, so he was responsible for making that a legitimate career.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Isn't that cool?
I would so love to do that.
I don't know that I would want to do that because I don't want to know what I'd find. I think like, I don't know, there's this movie, which is totally not coming to my brain right now, or like an episode of a show, something. It's not coming to my brain. And they dive, and then one person gets stuck on the inside of this boat.
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
But, you know, I don't know. When you're dead, you don't know it, so it's fine, probably.
Yeah, that's true. So Dr. Joseph Porter, he's obviously, it's called the Porter Mansion. He's the one who's most known and associated with the mansion, obviously, duh.
Since it's named after him?
Yes, since they call it the Porter Mansion, and it's not called the Webb Mansion. So he was born in the house and his father purchased it in 1845, though he died shortly after at the age of 32.
Aw.
And then his mother soon after that died at the age of 30.
Aw.
So the kids were cared for by their grandparents. And this is fun fact. So he was born in the same room that he died in. He lived in the house his entire life.
I remember that. Like, I just remember that snippet that you said, right? That you said right now that he was born in the same room that he died. But I don't remember anything else.
Okay. Yeah. Same. So actually that wasn't what stood out to me. It was something else later on in the story, but we'll get there. Then okay. I'll tell you what it was that stood out to me. I didn't remember that part. But he was Key West's first native-born physician. He was Florida's first public health officer. And he also was the first person to recognize the connection between yellow fever transmission being tied to mosquitoes.
Oh, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he has quite the resume.
So I believe it said that his parents died of yellow fever. So basically what it was saying was that he like turned his anger into his passion.
His tragedy into a career.
Yeah, basically. So the house was originally built with two stories, but Dr. Porter and his wife, Louisa Curry, they added a third floor in 1870. They also added small balconies with Victorian trim, wrought iron.
And hey, I have a quick question. Is she from the Curry Mansion family?
I don't know, actually. I didn't look that up, but I know I want to talk about the Curry Mansion in an episode. Don't you worry.
Okay.
But you know what? I actually should add a note right here. Sorry if you can hear my typing.
Tippity tap.
Yeah, I'm going to add a note right there to see, look up if she's related.
Okay.
So they added porches to the back of the home and a mansard roof and gable dormers to the tip of the house, just painting a visual picture of the house. Really beautiful Southern classic Key West style home. And we'll post a picture of it on the Instagram.
I love them.
Me too. That's my dream one day. And ironically, my dream house down there is actually the artist house, which is kind of scary as fuck, which again, we'll talk about in a different episode. But that's like my dream one. I know. I just love it. I love the wraparound balcony or the wraparound porch. And like there's a spiral staircase outside of it. It's just so neat.
I love all of the gingerbread on all of the houses.
Yeah.
Like how they all have different like seahorses and starfish and different kinds of scrolls and like.
Right. Different little accents on their railing.
On their railings and like on the porches.
Yeah.
Like
their trims.
Yeah, exactly. The gingerbread.
Yeah. I love it. So Porter's daughters eventually painted the house emerald green, and Jesse Newton, no idea who this person is, added white trim.
Okay.
Thought I'd give my shout out.
Random Jesse
added white trim to the house.
Okay.
So today the house is listed. It's a U.S. National Register House of Historic Homes as of 1973. Wow. I just can't spit out words tonight. Sorry.
So what else is new?
I was going to say, no surprise. And it's also at this point in time, an apartment building, a bar, and it has office spaces.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know exactly where this is then. Because there's like a real estate office in there. And then there's like a couple of apartments on the back side of it. Yeah, I know where this is.
Okay, so what we've all been waiting for. The hauntings. Enough about the history, Daphne. Even though this is the part that actually I would say, I don't think it's the part that I like the most, but I really enjoy it. Okay.
I get that.
So enough about that. On to the hauntings. Residents report that they find coins stacked by invisible hands, and these coins are always really neatly arranged by unseen specters.
Huh.
And others witness Dr. Porter's poltergeist in full-bodied form. Some overhear chamber ensembles in vacant rooms, and they watch apparitions appear just to then disappear.
So why do they say poltergeist? Because he's super active or what?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably because he's super active. And then also wine glasses are always tossed around. Pints are just like half spilt over.
Wow. That's wasteful.
It is, right? That's alcohol abuse.
It is. Especially in Key West.
Yeah, no shit. So, frequently spotted on the first floor bar, Dr. Porter spooks ghosts and staff alike. He's known to toss wine glasses off of their racks and have them spontaneously shatter from time to time. And even pint glasses have been found split open on tabletops, tumbled about by unseen hands. And one bartender, they were like, I can't even work here in such close proximity to paranormal activity. So, they quit, like, real close after being hired.
Aw.
Which makes me beg the question of what are you doing in Key West?
Right. No kidding. It's probably got to be
per capita
one of the most haunted places.
I was going to say, I don't even know that I said it. It's called Bone Island. Like that's its like nickname is right. referred to as Bone Island.
I feel like whenever I read that they say Savannah, Georgia is like the most haunted city in the United States. But I mean, Key West has got to be up there.
Because oh my God,
a 2x4 island with a lot of dead
activity.
A lot of dead history.
Yeah, a lot of dead history for real. So other bartenders, they say that they don't mind being in the company of the poltergeist. One even waited on Dr. Porter. And she said at the time, like, she didn't know that obviously he was a ghost. She was had her back turned to the bar and there was one empty chair at the bar. She's running around like a chicken with her head cut off. She's working, you know, getting people's food orders in, pouring drinks. So she, at this point, she was grabbing a bottle of wine. Nobody was behind her. She turned around. Somebody's behind her. And she like asked him for his order. He gave it to her. Then when she went to go get him his order, he was gone. And there was just a stack of coins.
Ooh. So yeah. He's the coin stacker.
He's the coin stacker. And then she said that later someone had shown her a photograph of Dr. Porter and she was like, yeah, that was him. She just figured he was like an actor or somebody from the Historical Society dressing up.
Right. Because there's a lot of that happening.
There's a lot of that. Sometimes it's like, are you a ghost or are you an actor?
Or are you both?
Are you both? Yeah, that's a good question. So one third floor resident alleges that he's regularly visited by these poltergeists. And he said that they're not sinister, that they're just kind of there. He'll hear them like clicking when he's not inside of his room. Like when he steps out, he'll hear things happening inside of his room. And then he'll come back and he'll find coins stacked on his dresser.
So invasive.
I know, right? And then another resident, they claim to hear mysterious sounds of a chamber ensemble. And once it occurs, she basically, I guess, she just walks into the living room and she's like, you guys, fuck off. I'm trying to sleep. You know, try again in a few days, like try again tomorrow. Fuck you. I'm sleeping, basically, is how it occurs.
Wow.
And then they leave her alone for like 2 or 3 days and then they start their shit again.
Alrighty.
Yeah, but
I don't know if I would talk to ghosts like that.
It says that they're very polite ghosts.
Yeah, but why is she telling them to fuck off then?
That's just one thing I read that she like gets heated with them.
Oh, okay.
So maybe she's not using the words fuck off, but she's like, stop, I'm trying to sleep.
Right.
Like, so raising her voice. Yeah.
When you wake you up.
Yeah, basically. Ain't nobody allowed to wake me up or it is the end of your day.
Exactly. That's no lie.
So a man who has an office within the building, he said he's seen many ghosts outside of his office. And he said that one day his door was closed because he had a client in his office. But he has a window in the door and then he saw a figure walking back and forth outside of the door. And he was just thought that his meeting with his client was, you know, taking too long, that this guy's pacing outside. And so him and the client, you know, they shook hands and they're like, OK, let's go see what this guy wants now. Our meeting's over. But then when they opened the door, no one was there. I know you're so surprised, right? Ghost story.
Shocking.
Ghost story. Nobody's there. What?
But still, you could have gone the other way and you could have said there is an apparition standing there with a stack of coins in his hand.
What? And he asked the front desk people at the building and he's like, hey, what's going on? Was somebody out there waiting for me? And they're like, no, we haven't seen anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but this guy and his client both saw what was happening outside through the window.
Yeah.
So this is just a little offbeat comment. I couldn't find much more information about this than the one comment that I have, but that paranormal investigators are still trying to figure out who the young African-American girl is, who's frequently seen by residents. And they're like trying to figure out who she is, what she's all about. And they think that Dr. Porter had servants who worked for him and she may be one of the daughters of the servants of like either the Haitian or
Bohemian.
Yeah. The Bohemian servants. So they're still trying to figure out who she is, but it didn't say that like she did anything. It didn't say that she was like up to no good or anything of that nature.
Just that she's been visualized.
So she's, yeah, she's seen there.
Aw. I don't know why kid ghosts are sad. I mean, I do know why.
Kids that die too young.
Yes. Yeah, that is why.
Okay. Well, that wraps up the porterhouse.
I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. Okay, so what I was going to say to you was that the coins, that was what was familiar to me about that whole story, was the coins.
Yeah, I think that stands out to me too. But I just remember, because how random is it that you would be born in the same room that you would die in?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people could say that?
Dr. Porter. Just Dr. Porter.
Just Dr. Porter.
Okay, so our next one is the Audubon House and Gardens.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, except for I did not know it was haunted.
I didn't know it was haunted either.
Yeah, well, I mean, fucking surprise, surprise.
But... Right, I was going to say, but I feel like probably everything in Key West has some kind of...
attachment.
Spirit attached to it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I found this story, which isn't a very long one, but a good one, hopefully.
Okay, a shorty but a goodie.
A shorty but a goodie. It's at 205 Whitehead Street.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yep, exactly where that is.
Plus, I know the Audubon House because the gardens are so, they're lush and gorgeous.
They're beautiful, well-maintained.
Yeah. You're going to post a picture of that too, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. That's the only thing I didn't get to on the Google search when I was taking screenshots of everything. So the house was built by Captain John Geiger. I think that's how you say it, Geiger.
Yeah.
I just psych myself out every time I'm going to say names. Geiger. And he built the house in 1846 for his family, which would be his wife. And okay. He either had 9 or 12 kids.
All right.
Like, I couldn't really find too much. Like, some said 9, some said 12.
Well, maybe he had 12 and only 9 left or something.
Maybe that, yeah, it could be because something we're getting into.
Because anyway. It's 1846.
Yeah.
Right.
So the family lived there for 4 generations, so over 108 years.
Wow.
And there, you know, a lot of things took place in that house, marriages, births, deaths. So it's said that it still has a lot of its previous occupants walking the halls.
Well, I think if I died there, I might not want to leave either.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
Yeah.
So William Bradford Smith, who's the last descendant to live in the house... he was known to be a recluse. He lived in the home alone for about 25 years. It's said that he's still there on the property, the last place where he was with his entire family, and many people feel his presence on the third floor. And according to paranormal investigators, he's not the only remaining resident, that there's voices of young kids, and they've been captured by EVPs as well. The sightings of a young girl on the third floor and the occasional tap or tug by Charles, who was the Geiger's youngest child. They say that they also think that Geiger and Lucrietta.
I don't know. I can't see because you're way over there.
Lucrietta.
We're trying to cut Lucretia? Down mic noise.
Lucretia.
By sitting real far from each other.
Lucretia.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Sure.
I don't know if that's right or wrong or not, but we're going to go with that. Apologies.
Is no that disrespect. His wife?
Yeah.
You could call her Mrs. Geiger.
I could call her Mrs. Geiger. Except for this next part of my story, I have to say her name.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
So this is a quote from a book about, it's called The Ghosts of Key West, and it's by David Sloan, which my mom has had for 100 years.
Wow. Way to age me.
So standing on the steps, a mere 4 feet. Shit. Standing on the steps. A mere 4 feet in front of him was the apparition of a woman. She appeared to be in her 50s and was wearing a light blue dress with a full-length apron, complemented by frills and a matching white cap. Pete continued to stare in disbelief as she moved back and forth on the step before disappearing completely. Lucretia? That's the quote. And Pete is somebody who either still or was a former employee who they interviewed from the book.
Nice.
Yeah. The book said that there was one room that was specifically used for quarantine times for yellow fever, which, like, ugh, I don't even want to talk about quarantine. But they used it for yellow fever, not the Kenora.
Right, not the Kenora virus panorama.
Uh-huh. So it said that that room had a lot of people die in it, unfortunately, including one of their sons who... There may have been sons from yellow fever or children from yellow fever that have passed away in the room as well. But one of their sons who fell out of an almond tree passed away in that room.
Aww.
And they also believe that this might be the little boy who they frequently see within the room.
God, that's...
And this room is also full of, like, antique toys and things as well.
Nice.
This room. So
it caters to children and children ghosts.
Yes, exactly. So by 1958, the house had fallen on hard times and the new owners were actually going to demolish it and build it into a gas station.
Did you see my jaw dropping over here? A fucking gas station?
Yeah. And it's the 50s. They didn't know that it would be a historic place one day.
I think there's history in the 50s that's pre-50s.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess it's actually 100 years plus at that point.
Yeah. But still.
112 years old.
I just think gas station and that beautiful garden. Like, what the fuck?
Right? Yeah. No.
Might as well just put a Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's or something. Like,
well, you know what that made me think when I read that? That how many other places were demolished to put up, like, Duval Street, for instance. I mean, I'm sure, well, actually, I know for a fact some of those buildings have been standing for a very long time and were some of the original buildings there.
Mm-hmm.
But like towards the like entrance of the island, like what was there before, you know, where there's the Taco Bell up there now and the Marriott Hotel, like what was there before that?
Probably not Taco Bell and Marriott.
Right. Probably these beautiful old homes with the gingerbread trim.
Right.
Fucked up.
Damn it.
I mean, I guess if it weren't for hotels, we probably would have never been able to visit there a million times. But I still feel upset about that. Okay. Anyway, I'll move on. End tangent. End tangent. Stop tearing down history. Mitchell Wolfson Sr., who was a Key West native, he had moved away from Key West into like the Miami area. And then somebody told him that the house was purchased and was going to be demolished. And so him and his foundation, if you will, his like group that he owned, mm-hmm. ended up actually buying the house because he was a local there or originally from there and was like, I need to keep this house. I need to like, you know, make it amazing again. So he restored it. And it took 2 years to restore it, which in that time they added electricity to the house. And then they opened it up as the Audubon Museum.
Nice.
And you're probably wondering, how is it the Audubon if it's the Geiger's house?
I am wondering.
You're like, no, I'm not, because I know about it. So it's named the Audubon House because of John James Audubon. And he was an artist and he was a cataloger as well of American birds. And he created the book Birds of America, which he founded, like, so many different species, or did not found
them. He founded them?
He founded them.
You mean he finded them?
I meant founded in, like, the way of, like, discovery.
So he finded them.
He finded them. So he visited Key West in 1832 and discovered 18 new species of birds there. And he spent months with the Geiger family, sometimes painting on their grounds. And then his paintings of the white-crowned pigeon features of the Geiger tree are still found in the front yard of the house.
Nice.
And he was actually the one who named the orange flowering tree that you can find in Key West the Geiger tree after the Geiger family.
Aw, paying yeah. homage.
Yeah, isn't that a cool one?
That is a cool one.
Anyway, so yeah, they made it. So now the house is an art exhibit. That's what it is now. I mean, it still has these antique pieces that the family owned in the home. But now it's primarily just an art exhibit for Audubon's work and all of his prints, and other artists put their stuff in the gallery as well.
So it's a museum.
Yeah.
And an art gallery with beautiful grounds, and no one lives there.
Yes. No one lives there.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody's there anymore. I mean, nobody is there anymore.
No living human is there anymore.
Yeah, basically. Although, you know what I saw too is that. So Audubon had visited the Geigers, but like he never actually stayed in the house. So it was just kind of like a weird thing that they would rename it after him when he never actually stayed in the house. He was originally, or his dad was French, and he was from wherever before they called it Haiti, before it was Haiti, whatever that the name of the nation was before they renamed it Haiti was where he was from.
Okay.
And so he wasn't from Florida. He wasn't from the United States, you know. And so he was basically just a traveler of finding new species. But yeah, they said that he never actually like stayed in the home. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. But so, maybe they're just so impressed with his resume that, and they're like, well, the Geiger's kind of
meh.
Right?
He was a pretty famous wrecker though. John Geiger.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Pretty famous wrecker.
I love it.
It's so cool. And there's also on the third floor in the parlor, there's a painting of Captain Geiger. And in the dining room, the serving table is still there, the original serving table, the dining table. And a replica cookhouse in the gardens provides a further insight into the life into the mid-19th century Key West. I want to go back so bad. I'm itching. God. I'm itching to go back.
You know what's sad, though, is every time we go back, a little piece of the original Key West that we very first visited is kind of gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be shocked to see it after the pandemic. We haven't been there since before the pandemic. We haven't been there since 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
But we started going there in the early 2000s. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, just, I don't know. I'll just shut up.
No, that's okay.
Change sucks. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's sad. I know that most of my favorite businesses, though, made it out of Key West or made it out alive. They're still standing.
That's good.
Yeah, like the Half Shell Raw Bar. Love that place.
Yeah.
Blue Heaven.
And the Conch Republic
is also good. Not my favorite. Half Shell and Blue Heaven own my heart.
Yeah, for sure.
They own my heart.
Right. Okay, so we should probably start talking about food.
Okay, so next we're going to talk about this, our last story. I mean, story-ish. I don't know. Okay, we're talking about the Key West Cemetery next.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it's located at 701 Passover Lane in Key West, obviously. There are about 100,000 people buried there, and it's 19 acres. The Key West Cemetery was established in 1847. It was originally located near the beach, where the ground was softer. It was easier to bury people there.
Seems like not a good plan.
You already know the story, so shh. So, the island's burial ground was relocated to its current location after a severe hurricane that swept the island and made the bodies all rise up, and they were all washed across all of the land of Key West. So now it's built at actually the highest point in Key West, but all of the graves are above ground.
Tell us what the highest point in Key West is. Don't give me the look. I don't know. I would have to look, too.
Yeah. Why are you making me look? 16 feet. 16 feet above sea level is as high as it is.
That's not it. Hardly any feet.
Yeah, no. We're at, like 6,000 where we are?
Yeah, I think we're at, like, 7. Well, no, 6. Like a high 6.
We're at 6 and some high change.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the bodies were relocated there, so some of them are...
Oh, no, I lied. We're at 57.
Yes, 6,000.
Yeah, but not in some change.
Not in some change. Just hired closer to 6,000. Anyway, okay, what I'm trying to say before you interrupted me.
Sorry.
That the cemetery is built on the highest point of Key West, 16 feet high, 16 feet above sea level. And there are some graves there that are actually older than the cemetery itself. One is dated at 1829 and the other's at 1843, and they were moved there after that hurricane. I assume it's because they knew who these people were. Then they found their bodies washed up, and the other people, it's that they didn't know who they were.
That's gross. I'm picturing that movie Poltergeist, where all those bodies come up through the swimming pool.
Ew.
Sorry.
So the cemetery, it was established, and it seems that the main motivating factor of actually creating the cemetery in Key West was because of a hurricane that had hit and it killed a lot of people. So I don't think it was the same one that went through and dug all the bodies up.
It was a different one.
It was a different one that killed all the people before they had to bury them all.
So it's good that they were killed before they were buried.
Oh, fuck. I know. So one of the highly visited graves there, I know you know where I'm going with this. Do you want to tell me what it says?
That lady, I can't remember her name, but the quote on it says, "I told you I was sick."
Yep.
Because she's like the town hypochondriac.
Her name was BP Pearl quotes Roberts.
Okay.
Yeah. So people thought she was either a hypochondriac and her doctors were never able to find anything wrong with her. And then she died. And so it's funny that her thing says, "I told you I was sick."
Mm-hmm.
It is funny. And some other tombstone examples are Edwina Lares. She was born 1923, passed away 1986. Her gravestone is marked as devoted fan of singer Julio Iglesias.
Love it.
And another one, Wilhelmina Harvey. She was born in 1912, passed away in 2005. her says, she was the first woman juror in Key West, and she was also a local elected official, and her grave has the title on it, Admiral Conk Republic Navy.
Admiral?
Admiral. Admiral. Admirable. Admiral. Admiral. And then Gloria M. Russell's, do you know what this one says?
No.
You do. I'm just resting my eyes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Like, you know that one. So there are many local favorites buried within the cemetery. And one of them was the actual Sloppy Joe Russell. And he was born in 1889, passed away in 1941. He was Ernest Hemingway, which there's the Hemingway house on the island. He was Ernest Hemingway's fishing guide and his favorite bartender on the island.
Right. Because he's...
You're like, yeah, he's also my favorite bartender on the island.
Yeah, one of them for sure. Well, 1941, no, he never actually served me, but...
His drink list has.
His drink list has.
So there's many soldiers that are buried there, and they have a monument going towards the USS Maine that exploded in Havana, where 260 soldiers were killed, and this happened in 1898. And 24 of those dead are buried here, along with other veterans. Oh, my thing got cut off. 24 Spanish-American War veterans are buried there as well.
In Havana, Cuba is where the explosion was?
Exploded in Havana Harbor.
Okay. Yeah. Which is 90 miles from Key West.
Yeah.
So they brought them home.
Right. They brought them back home. And also, I read this as well, which I didn't know. And actually, I don't think in my brain, if I could point, like in my memory loop, I don't know if I could point this out. I could probably easily walk myself back to the, sorry, smack the desk. I could easily walk myself back to the I told you I was sick grave, but I can't picture in my mind where this grave is, where the memorial grave is with the 260 and then the other two dozen.
Yeah, I know where it is. It's on the outskirts.
But it's surrounded by wrought iron that was brought in from Washington, D.C. to keep these guys, like, peaceful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where that part is. It is definitely a section unto itself, and it's, like, on the outskirts, on the edge.
Right. So the cemetery has a lot of dedication for veterans and just other people who have, like, served the country and the Conk Republic. Because at one point they were seceded from the Union, but that's a different story.
That's a whole different story.
That's a history lesson. So there's also a lot of representation about just the Southern history in Key West at this cemetery. And for example, the grave of Manuel Cabeza, who died in 1921. He was a World War I vet and he had a relationship with a mixed raced woman. This is a horrible story, but his grave is here. He was tarred and feathered by the KKK for it. And then in retaliation, he shot and killed one of his persecutors on Duval Street on Christmas Eve, 1921. The next day, the posse removed Cabeza from jail and lynched, and then they shot him. So horrible part of the history of Key West, right? Yeah. Or of just the South, of the United States in general, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, it seems like just horrible story. But his grave is there so people can come, you know.
Well, and of course, the sheriff's department had to be in on it if they were able to get him out of his locked cell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The hanging tree right outside of the jail in Key West.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that in an episode, too. I want to, like, deep dive on all of these. Might be a freaking 10-part series over the course of the next year. Who knows? Okay. But I love it. I love it.
Me, too.
So much. I know you've heard all these stories before, but it's not okay. Everybody has.
It's okay.
So, yeah, unfortunately, a horrible story, but yeah, his grave is there. It's a nice declaration to him, if you will, because it's a horrible story of what happened to him.
It is.
So Key West Cuban heritage is also very strongly represented. And there's a section devoted to those who fought and died in the 1868 Cuban Revolution there. And
that were Cubans or were Americans?
I think they were American.
Okay.
Or Cuban. I don't know. But they fought in the Cuban Revolution. It doesn't say their heritage.
Well, if it's a Cuban section of the cemetery, then probably they were Cuban.
Maybe they were Cuban Americans who fought for America.
Maybe.
So then we also have, this is like a whole half an episode that it's going to take up for this story. But the story of Count Carl von Kossel. I'm saving it for later.
Yeah, you should.
It's a whirlwind of one. But the person who is the main part of that story's tomb was in that cemetery. Her original location was in that cemetery.
Yes.
And then travelers from the Bahamas would often come to Key West in order to make a better living or, you know, find a spouse within America. It's a quick, easy travel. I mean, it's 90 miles to Cuba. Mm-hmm. Not that far off from other islands in the Caribbean. So it has a really high immigration rate in Key West. So one of the ghosts of the cemetery is a Bohemian woman. Tour group staff members and visitors have said that they have seen this woman in the cemetery during the day and the night. This ghost is unlike other ones because, you know, she's angry and she's mean. And we've talked about really kind ghosts. So she gets very mad when visitors sit down on tombstones or if they walk across graves in the cemetery. So people say that she's mad because, you know, these people are disrespecting the dead. It's and definitely she's definitely rude to like sit. The keeper.
It's definitely rude to sit on a tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
And walking across graves, I feel like definitely shouldn't do that. But sometimes you can't help it. But that being said, if they're all buried, because most of them are above ground.
I was going to say, I don't even know how you'd walk across them in Key West when they're all above ground.
Yeah.
There's a couple of spots I can think of. I mean, I'm sure there's actually a lot of bodies buried all about the island. That we don't know
Bone
about.
Island.
Yeah, that we don't know about. I was going to say, though, the only spot that I can think of where you might accidentally walk across a grave is that that shipwreck that happened that they paid homage to all of those young African-American kids and had like a burial. And there's a declaration for them there, but it's on a beach somewhere. It's not in the cemetery.
Yeah, it's by Smathers Beach. But it was because when they were building Smathers Beach,
they found them.
They found their bodies.
Yeah.
And so they were doing like when they were like surveying the land and like using the surveying tools that kind of tell you the depth of stuff. And then there were all these bones. And I think there's 9 of them. I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like there's 9.
I was going to say 12, but yeah, a low.
Here we are back to 9 and 12.
A low number.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what was going through my brain was how do you walk across lifted graves? So many visitors of the cemetery have said that they heard a young girl that's calling out to them and they followed the voice and then nobody's there and that they think like she's trying to like play a game with them and something of that nature, kind of freaky.
Kinda.
Yeah, but
or maybe
she's
just
like,
a little girl who doesn't know she's passed.
But the people say that they don't feel like scared or anything like they do from the Bohemian woman. Like the Bohemian woman, I guess, is actually scary. But
well, don't
the
be disrespectful
girl,
to the dead.
Yeah, and true that.
Because we've been there a million times and I've never experienced anything other than the time that I took the picture. But literally, you were just being so cheesy with your little smile. And I was like, Daphne, there's a ghost behind you. Because I was trying to get a candid picture. And woo, was it candid.
Yeah, right. Trying to get me to look all frightened. And then there was actually an orb behind me.
Yep.
It knew. It was like, oh, here, let me pose for the
or
camera.
Maybe I knew. Maybe I sensed. I don't know.
So people say that, or some psychics, I guess, not just people, but psychics. Psychics, man, I'm having a hard time tonight. I'm having a rough go at it. Some psychics say that they believe that the Bohemian woman is looking for somebody in specific. And so that's why she could be angry and mad. I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, you're disrespecting grave sites and that's why she's mad. But they think that she's the keeper and that she's looking for someone.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wish we could know who she was looking for.
I know, right? Bring them back to her.
Yeah.
Move their bones.
Aw, that's sad.
Keep them together.
I know. I understand.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. That's all I have today.
Thank you. I'm sorry I cut you off right at the end then.
That's okay. That's all good.
Okay. Well, thanks. I liked it.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, actually, I was trying to remember. I feel like it was so in one ear and out the other, because I know we've driven by the Porter Mansion in the Ghosts and Gravestones tour, but I feel like it's so in one ear, out the other. I just remembered like the change part of it. Maybe I do remember the born in the same room, died in the same room, because I have heard that before. I just don't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like it's very likely that it came from this, like more likely than anything else.
Yeah, for sure. And you next time are going to give us a scary one. Yeah.
Yeah. Next time I'm going to give a scary one.
So this is Key West Ghost Light.
Light. light version. Then we'll go like light medium. Then we'll go like medium. Then we'll go medium hard. Then we'll go hard. Then we'll go like extreme sport ghost.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm ready.
Yeah, I just, a lot of them are really dark to dive into. And a lot of life, I mean, not that life ever stops. I know that's what we always talk about. Life never stops. But a lot of life has been happening recently. And I just needed to take on something that was a little bit lighter, but still like gives you a little bit of chills.
Yeah. Well, ghosty gives you chills.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
But I mean, we got murders to cover in Key West. Aside from the murder that we covered about Manuel, we have haunted dolls, a lore story. We have about why the ceilings are painted the way that they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't be looking up any of this shit, okay? I want to bring it to you. Don't do it.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes. All right, well, that's it. So I guess our adjustment to our schedule, follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Hit our Gmail up, thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com, or our website, which I spent many hours and days building for you fuckers that nobody wants to send me a case request form. Instead, they're like, oh, let's DM it to them. I appreciate the DMs.
Right. Don't call our listeners fuckers.
But like, just do it. Just fucking send the case request form. It makes me sad. Do I need to delete the website?
I don't know. We'll give it the full year that we've paid for.
Yeah, we'll give it the full year that we've paid for. I don't know. When does it expire? Like October, November? Anyway, yeah. I would just really appreciate just one case request form. Actually, that's not true. Patty sent a case request form.
Oh, yay. We got one.
Yeah. We have one case request form from a friend.
Yeah.
So that's cool and great and all.
It is cool and great and all.
But I would like more than one.
Yeah, that's no kidding. All right. Thank you guys. Have a good night. Take it easy. All of those things.
Yes. Good night. Bye-bye.